Testivity Audio Course, Series 65, Module 7, Open End Mutual Funds, Part 1.
Much like a corporation, a mutual fund must file a registration statement with the SEC when issuing securities. The registration statement is intended to provide full and fair disclosure to the potential investor and disclose all material facts investors need to make informed decisions. A mutual fund registration statement is made up of two parts, the prospectus and statement of additional information. The statement of additional information must be made available for public inspection and delivered to any person who requests it, but there is no requirement to proactively distribute the statement of additional information to investors. The prospectus, however, must be delivered when discussing the merits of a particular mutual fund and with each new purchase into the mutual fund, even if the investor has a history of purchasing mutual funds. The prospectus must be delivered no later than with confirmation of the purchase. All open-end mutual fund purchases are primary market transactions, and as the Securities Act of 1933 dictates, primary market transactions must be accompanied by a prospectus. Among other things, mutual fund prospectus will identify if the fund plans to leverage by borrowing money, what the fund plans to invest in, securities, real estate, commodities, derivatives, etc., the name, address, and business experience of all affiliated persons, investment objective of the fund, if the fund is opened or closed-ended, if the fund is diversified or non-diversified, details of available breakpoints, information on exchange privileges and how shares are redeemed, details on sales charges, management fees, 12b1 fees, and advisory fees, and 1, 5, and 10-year track record of the fund, since inception if the fund is less than 10 years old. There are 5 parties instrumental to the operation of a mutual fund. They include board of directors, investment advisor, underwriter, custodian, and transfer agent. Shareholders of a mutual fund elect the board of directors, who set policy and deal with administrative matters pertaining to the fund. Important functions of the board of directors include defining the fund's investment objective, oversee the balance of the portfolio, and determine how much cash to keep on hand. The board of directors is also responsible for hiring the investment advisor, or fund manager, underwriter, custodian, and transfer agent. The Act of 1940 restricts who can sit on a mutual fund's board of directors. At least 2/3 of the directors must be disinterested persons, meaning they are only associated with the mutual fund in their capacity as a director. Also, no person convicted of certain felonies and securities-related misdemeanors within the last 10 years may serve as a director. The fund manager or investment advisor is the person or entity who makes the investment decisions and manages the portfolio. The fund manager buys and sells securities in accordance with the fund's stated objective. The fund manager's compensation is paid from the assets in the fund. The management fee is typically an annual percentage of the aggregate net asset value of the fund. Approximately 0.5% is common. A mutual fund's underwriter, sometimes referred to as a sponsor or distributor, is appointed by the board of directors to market and distribute shares to the public. The underwriter is often responsible for writing, updating, and printing the fund's prospectus and sales literature. The underwriter buys shares of the mutual fund from the investment company at net asset value and profits by adding a sales charge to the net asset value when sold to the public. To protect the investor, the Investment Company Act of 1940 requires the assets in a mutual fund be held by an independent custodian, typically a commercial bank, trust company, or broker-dealer. The custodian is required to keep the fund assets physically segregated at all times and must submit to periodic surprise audits to ensure the assets are accounted for properly. The custodian must also send a statement disclosing the location and value of each investor's account at least quarterly, monthly if there's activity in the account that month. The role of the transfer agent is to issue new shares as they are purchased and to cancel existing shares when they are redeemed. While it is possible to issue physical certificates, most transfer agents maintain records in book entry form. A disbursement of dividend and capital gains distributions, as well as name changes, address changes, and changes in registration of share ownership are also handled by the transfer agent. Shareholder approval is mandatory before any change can be made to the fund's published bylaws or objectives. Approval is obtained by majority vote of the outstanding shares. Remember, shares vote, not shareholders. One shareholder owning 51% of the outstanding shares could determine the outcome of the vote. Actions that require majority vote include purchase of real property or derivative securities or loaning money, change subclassification from open to closed end, change from diversified to non-diversified, and change the investment objective of the fund, among others. Mutual funds are most prominently categorized by their investment objective and referred to as types. Common types of funds include equity fund. An equity fund invests in both common and preferred stock issued by corporations. Growth fund. A growth fund seeks long-term capital appreciation by investing in common stocks of corporations with growth potential. A growth fund is generally appropriate for young investors or investors with a time horizon of at least 10 years and some risk tolerance. Value fund. A value fund is sometimes called a blue chip fund. Value funds invest in common and preferred stock of established large cap companies with proven track records and histories of steady dividends. Aggressive growth fund. An aggressive growth fund attempts to maximize return by investing in microcap and small cap companies that are developing new products and innovative technologies. The primary objective of an aggressive growth fund is capital appreciation, having no emphasis on current income or dividend yield. Income fund. An income fund stresses current yield over appreciation. Income funds invest in bonds, dividend-paying stocks of established companies, preferred stocks, utility stocks, and other income-producing securities. Some income funds invest in securities on which options may be written, attempting to generate income from the option premiums received. Growth and income fund. A growth and income fund combines the objectives of appreciation and current yield by diversifying among companies with long-term growth potential and strong dividend yields. Balanced fund. A balanced or blend fund purchases stock for appreciation and bonds for interest income. The ratio of bonds to stock will fluctuate depending on market conditions at the discretion of the fund manager. Sector funds. Most sector funds are non-diversified because they invest primarily in one industry or one geographical region. Examples include internet funds, pharmaceutical funds, Latin America funds, Southeast Asia funds, etc. Due to their lack of diversification, sector funds carry a high degree of risk. Bond funds. There are several different categories of bond funds. Depending on their investment objective, an investor could purchase corporate bond fund for high current income, municipal bond fund for tax advantage, U.S. government bond fund for safety of principal, long, short, intermediate-term bond fund in anticipation of interest rate changes in the economy. International funds. An international fund invests in corporations located in the United States and abroad. With today's technology and the availability of information, global investing is becoming very common. Asset allocation funds. Asset allocation funds invest in a variety of assets, including stocks, bonds, real estate, precious metals, and cash equivalents. Some funds specify a percentage of assets to be allocated to each asset class, while others give the fund manager discretion over allocation. Index funds. Index funds utilize the efficient markets theory, which states it's not possible for an actively managed portfolio to outperform the market with any consistency. An index fund will simply mimic an index, such as the Standard & Poor's 500, by purchasing the same stocks that make up the index in the same proportion. Indexing is a passive management strategy and keeps management fees low. Principal protected funds. Most principal protected funds guarantee the initial investment minus any front-end sales charge, even if the stock markets fall. In many cases, the guarantee is backed by an insurance policy. If shares in the fund are sold prior to the end of the guarantee period, a period of anywhere from 5 to 10 years, the investor will lose the guarantee on those shares and could lose money if the share price has fallen. Fund of funds. As the name implies, a fund of funds is a mutual fund that invests in other mutual funds. Just as a traditional mutual fund invests in many different securities, a fund of funds holds shares of several different mutual funds. As a result, a fund of funds has even greater diversification than does a traditional mutual fund. However, expense fees of a fund of funds are typically higher than other mutual funds because they include not only their own expenses, but the expenses charged by the underlying mutual funds. Money market fund. While money market funds are commonly thought of as interest-bearing cash positions, they are legally mutual funds. The fund manager invests the fund's assets in money market instruments with short maturities. The rate of return on money market funds is not guaranteed, nor is the principal investment. While the fund strives to maintain a net asset value of $1 per share, there is no guarantee that will happen.